Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. Fully Loaded Chew comes in 9 flavors and is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine. To give us a try, head on over to fullyloadedchew.com for a $1 can of chew with free shipping when you enter the code OUTDOOR1, OUTDOOR, and the number 1. For more information on our product line, visit fullyloadedchew.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the O2 Podcast, the Ohio Outdoors Podcast. Tonight, it is Andrew and Paul, and Paul is on his roadshow again. Paul, where are you headed this time?
I am headed to Eastern Pennsylvania, Allentown, PA, meeting with some guys from the NWTF tomorrow. I've got a two-day hunt in PA that I'm doing, and then I am headed to Fort Wayne, Indiana to raise some money for the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, and then months, I am done. I'm done traveling. I am
bring
going
it
to turkey hunt.
Bring it on
turkey
home,
hunt
big
with
dog.
You.
Bring it on.
Yes,
home.
Yes, man. I'll tell you what. I don't know how guys like Dave Owens does it. I counted the states that I've been in this spring. I've been in 17 states, and that's it. I haven't even hunted in all those. That's just driving and visiting with people and meetings or whatever the hell it is. Dave Owens is like he's hunting like 25 states a year. Hunting public guys, Parker McDonald. All over the country hunting turkeys. One, kind of jealous. Two, not really that jealous. Like, man, I am exhausted. I'm ready to hunt with my buddies. I'm ready to hang out with my kids, hang out with my wife. And
so you and I started together this turkey season, and it looks like we might end together. And I don't think we hunted anywhere in between. So
no, we didn't. Yeah, no, we were out on opening day, and by God, we'll be out on the last day of the year. So.
Well, we'll get some business done here real quick, and then we're going to get into you're going to hear how me and Paul fail, but then we got a couple guests that are going to tell you on how they succeeded. So first of all, go wild. Send it slam. July 9th, 3D archery shoot competition, full lineup of Kentucky musicians, local food trucks, breweries, lots of stuff for the kiddos. Let's see. Down there in Louisville. So go to timetogowild.com. I think you click on the stories tab, and it's the first thing that pops up there. You can register online and get all set up there. It's going to be a good time. I know it. Talk to those guys. Looks to be legit. And then if you're not familiar with Go Wild, which you probably are at this point because they seem to be everywhere, it's your online social media area. Not going to get censored. They post stuff. You're going to find friends. Very positive group when it comes to encouragement, answers questions. They've got their shopping platform. This is the space for the outdoors folk. So check it out if you haven't. TimeToGoWild.com is their website. And, yeah.
Do you know what you can buy on Go Wild, Andrew? A tethered saddle system.
There you go.
Yeah. Or you can also go to tetherednation.com, buy your saddle system. I've talked about it, man. I'm looking forward to getting that thing. So I am almost under 270 pounds. I'm almost there. I feel like if I can get to 250, that's like a good number for being in a tree saddle. So yep. Looking forward to it, man. Can't wait.
Now's the time on the saddle stuff, and then
Hell yeah, man.
Absolutely. So, let's see what else do we have here. Well, shout out to the guys over at First Light for their support, and obviously, I'm. You ever want to talk clothes? I'll talk all day about those with you. So.
So Brian Hall, who we're going to hear from later in this episode. You and him went on a hunt together, and he tagged me in a picture on Go Wild of you, in your turkey setup. Dude, I've looked at that picture 100 times. I still cannot find you in that picture in your First Light Spectre stuff. I cannot find it.
Well, the turkeys couldn't find me either. But yeah, then at the end, maybe I couldn't see them. So
no, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, good stuff. So one more thing to throw out here is the archery hike that we've got going on, and it is July 15th to 17th down in the Hocking Hills. It is archeryhike.com. Pretty easy to remember if you want to check that out. So it's going to be the weekend after Send It Slam. Another opportunity. They got 1 day, 2 day, 3 day hiking passes available. Very, very cool. Kind of a grassroots little event put on there by a friend, Justin Ross, over there from Hunters and Farmers and Hunters
Feeding. Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. Yeah, kid friendly event, family friendly event. Going to be a lot of stuff to do there. So, and Mons, what's the best part of the event? The best part. It's not raising money for charity. It's not being in the outdoors. It's you get to meet you and I. That, my friend. I'm totally kidding. That's going to be, you'll see how bad I am with a bow. That's the best part.
That'll be fun.
Talk about everyone laughing at me. Yeah. I'm going to buy a bow sight between now and then. So what I'll do is I'll buy the bow sight literally the night before the archery event. And then I'll put it on. Like, as we're on our way to Louisville, I'll put on a bow sight.
Can you
figure it out while I'm there? So.
Can you use a crossbow in these events?
I don't know, man. I have no idea. I'm just as bad with one of those, probably. So, I'm my confidence is shook, man. With my aiming. I mean, I missed that turkey in Kentucky. Spoiler alert. I'm shook up, dude.
Why don't we get into that? Let's go ahead and we'll talk about our. Last couple weeks here. Let's see. When we recorded last,
I feel bad. I've missed so many episodes. You've been holding the fort down, man.
Oh, it's all good. It's team. So you ran down to Kentucky there for a couple of days. Tell us about that. Just give us the.
I did. Yeah. Man. I went down and I met with Brad Luttrell from Go Wild, which was awesome. And then. Derek from Go Wild, who was on our episode for the fly fishing, was gracious enough to put me up in his house for a night or for two nights. Then we went out and hunted, and I had a blast, man, at his family farm. Unbelievable piece of property. Birds were they were pretty cooperative. We had a really good time, and he was gobbling on the limb, flew down into one of these hay pastures, and he was on the other property line, and he was probably 350 yards. So you know, we get set up, and we can't get a decoy out in the field or anything like this. You know, this turkey's going to spot us, and he flies over, and he covers 350 yards or 300 yards rather, and probably 20 minutes. And what was really funny, there was like this red-winged blackbird that kept dive bombing him as he was coming across the field. So he'd like puff up and strut up every time this bird would dive bomb him. It was pretty funny. I had to stop looking at it because I was starting to get nervous because of how big he was. But months, when you know, man, this turkey gets to like 70 yards, doesn't see a hen, doesn't, you know, and never gobbled while he was coming through the field. And we didn't, you know, Derek didn't call. And maybe once when this turkey went out of view, man, he hard right, goes up the field, gets into the woods, and as soon as he hits that wood line, it's just like pow, pow. He gobbles like four times really fast, and so we move and try to find him. Never ran into him. So we putz around, we get into another field, and you know, like as hunters, like you're always so nervous about moving, you're always so nervous about like making sound. You don't want to scare the game, you know, the animals. And so Derek and I are sitting, you know, in this field. We were there for like an hour. You know, we're kind of hungry. Both of us have our face masks down. We're sitting on the ground. We, you know, 20 minutes before we had called, just real quick, I called on a slate call, and I was eating. Derek was eating. We were talking as loud as you and I are talking right now. And we hear pop, pop, pop. We hear this turkey. And I look over Derek's shoulder, and there is a hen 15 feet behind him. And he puts his mouth call in and starts yelping at this hen. And she walks, like she runs into the woods right at him. And it's like less than 10 feet from him. Not, I mean, he is staring right at this hen, no mask. I'm laughing. because this hen is just raising hell, bitching her ass off. And Derek was just like cutting her off. And she, oh man, it was hilarious. But she hung around for probably 35, 40 minutes, never brought a tom in with her. Fast forward to Heartbreak City, Kentucky version. Had a lot of those year months. Late night hunt, evening hunt, right before fly down, birds are in the field, bunch of hens. And this tom comes in, or Jake Bird comes in, and it was a huge Jake. So, I mean, it was a big turkey, but like smallish beard. Excuse me. And he was 46 yards away. We ranged it after the fact, but he covered 70 or 80 yards in about 10 seconds. And he came into my right, and Derek was to my right. And when I went to, I didn't want to just stay on my beat and just turn my body and cut Derek off. You know, just pound him in the face with my shotgun. So I like leaned forward. And when I did that, I just didn't, I mean, the turkey was starting to spook. So he had turned and was starting to like you could tell he was starting to spook. And man, I just shot right over his head. And he jumped, hit the ground and like stopped. And I fired another $15 round of TSS downrange, $30 at one turkey. And he just runs, flies into the woods, and that was it, man. So I the next day I went out to a public piece of property by myself, met some awesome kids. It was their first, one of them is his first time hunting ever. Archer was his name. They said they would listen months, so we'll see. Archer, I hope you got turkey, man. His buddy, I can't remember his name. Sorry, dude. Good kids, man. It was the other fellow's his like third time hunting. It was just good to see people getting in the woods, and they asked a lot of questions, and I felt bad because that day I heard so many turkeys, and they didn't hear anything. I mean, they were just that, you know, that day, like they were on the wrong side of the fence, so to speak. But it was cool, man. So we'll go in chronological order. Kentucky, and then your trip. What happened with you, man? You had some fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is only the second or third year. I guess it's the second real spring of for me hunting turkeys, and it was eventful. So I had that lottery win up there at Kildare Plains, and I suggest that anybody wants to apply next time, go around, go for it. It was a Kildare Plains is an interesting area. I hadn't ever really been there, but it's a wildlife mecca. Surrounded by a lot of agriculture, and we joked that every time we drove in and out in the dark, it was like you were playing big buck hunter because of the deer that were running across the road. It was nonstop. I mean, there were so many deer up there.
Is killdeer in the CWD zone?
It is, and I've got a lot of questions about that. Okay,
yeah,
and I'm going to work on that. Maybe we'll get an episode out of that, but the one morning, I bet we saw 50 deer before 8:30. I mean, it was incredible. So, but anyways, beautiful property. We had one of the units, and for a couple of days we camped. I'm trying to think how this worked out. We were on turkeys the first morning. I thought, oh my God, we're going to kill a bird at 7:30 and be able to crack a beer by 10 and camp for a day or two and go fishing. There's a pond, everything. Of course, that don't count your chickens or your turkeys in this case before they hatch. But in came the hen, and I'm trying to think. Brian and I were set up near enough to each other. I had a beautiful look at this field, and I thought that they were going to work their way out there. What do I know? But this hen came coming through the woods, and she had a couple jakes, I think, that were following her behind, and she they got hung up. But we did the old, she was probably the boss hen because we were calling over top of her, man, and she got pissed, and she was, like, coming in looking for a fight. But those two Jakes, they got, I don't know what happened. We didn't have any decoys set up there. I actually had one in the field, but it didn't really do any good. So, whatever. After that, that day, I'm trying to think. The time kind of blurs together. We went back for the afternoon, tried to roost them. I think we were close. I didn't see him go up in the roost, but the next morning went down, and they only had to have been 100 yards from where we were set up. So they were just down the south a little bit more. So that morning we got him out of the tree. again, they worked out into this big field, so we didn't see them until about 8 o'clock. Then I go over and take a peek out in this big field where there's seven of them out there. So we kind of did this, you know, maneuver. We're going to try to cut them off, and I don't know if something spooked them. If we spooked them, I highly doubt it because we were 500 yards away through as we were moving through the woods and all that. But I'll tell you what, we saw coyotes daylight all 3 days we were out there. So who knows what
were they coming into? Were they coming into your calls, the coyotes?
I don't think so. Okay. Maybe on one of the occasions, but the other times I wasn't even calling. I just see them creeping along through this tall grass. Like I said, though, it was a wildlife mecca. So I saw tons of raccoons. We get into that nest predator talk. I watched a raccoon do a rope climb up a grapevine one morning right in front of me. I mean, those things were everywhere. So, but anywho, so the seven of them, they spooked and were gone that day. Came back in the evening, roosted them perfect. Okay. So perfect. Too perfect. And the next morning, so this is the last morning we're going out. We get set up and where we think we're about 100 yards from where we roosted them. Hit the owl call a couple times. All right, got a few gobbles. Every morning we're getting gobbles off that, so I love that owl call. But all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I can't remember what time it was. It was like 6:05, I think. I hear this like 35 yards from me up in the tree. And I realized at the very top, it sounded like you with the mouth call in. So maybe that mouth call will work, Paul. But the there's a Jake at the top of this tree, and he can't gobble. He's, you know, it was a very special gobble. And so I got to watch him fly out of the tree, watched a few of the other ones, the hens fly down. I don't know if we were too close or not. I don't think we spooked him. Had he flew to the east, if he had flown to the west, he would have been in Brian's lap. So, you know, is it one of those things we just, and I don't know, should we have called more to get him to come in? But by that point, man, you talked about these guys that hunt turkeys professionally. Is that what you call it? For a living. And I was worn out, man, of turkey hunting is you're up real early. Right. And again, I'm still learning, so don't hold it against me. This is the stories of a beginner. But you're up way early and then you're up late at night. Right. So like in the deer woods, yeah, you got to get up early, but it's basically the shortest day of the year. Here you're teetering on the longest day of the year, and that can make for a long day, especially if you're trying to do that day in and day out. So kudos to all you turkey hunters out there. So. But
add an hour drive back home, you know, if you're hunting public or private property that's far from home. So that's, yeah, man, it's take it out of you for sure.
Yep. So all that said, it was I learned a lot. Right. And I think that's important, not to get super like philosophical or whatever. But, you know, you go out to learn stuff in the woods. I saw birds get roosted birds and saw them fly out of the roost. And I watched a lot of how they work and different things like that. So. Maybe if I had another day, it could have happened. But if not, you know, we start to learn something.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's always fun, man. I always try to take something out of those tough days. So I, too, won a lottery hunt up north, northern part of the state. me and my buddy Justin Rush went up there. Justin has never turkey hunted. Just got into hunting last year. Deer, duck, and so this was his first experience with turkeys. We go to our little zone. We get set up. It's 5 a.m, and you know, half hour, 45 minutes later, owl hoot, boom, gobble. I mean, you could clap your hands and they would probably have gobbled. I mean, you could have hollered, they would have gobbled. I mean, there was like five or six gobblers around us, and I mean, they are close, and we're on the wood line. There's this real nice, like tiny little field that's surrounded by pines and mixed hardwoods. And I'm thinking to myself, like, a lot of these hunts I've been on this year, I'm kind of like the second shooter. And I want Justin to get, you know, to shoot turkey before I do. And I'm like, this dude's going to hunt for an hour and a half and kill his first turkey. Like that's how confident I was that this was going to happen. And so these birds hit the ground and they're like, they're working in, you know, I mean, because they're gobbling nonstop. We had a couple that faded away, but they're like two or three off to our left that were coming in hard and they were gobbling, man. And I hadn't called much at all. And it was just hen city after that. I mean, they were aggressive. They were cutting, they were yelping at everything. And man, you can just hear them. And those toms, like you just hear them meet up. And there was just total silence after that. And so we ended up getting on a bird maybe an hour later after things kind of settled down, got on a bird. Never really. I mean, cause we had gone in completely blind. I mean, it's hard to like understand a property just from Mon-X. I mean, I'm sure there are guys who are like way more skilled at that stuff than I am. I got to see it once. You know what I mean? Just to understand the terrain and like how things work and what, you know, and Mon-X, like it doesn't always mean, you know, some of it's some of those maps I think are a little dated, but first morning, awesome. We hunted, you know, we're on turkeys most of the day. Went back, had lunch, came back out in the afternoon, and you know, we're sitting up, and I mean, it's just hen. Oh my God, there's a tom. And so at one point there was this tom, he was in the field. He had three hens with him. And they were kind of far. Yeah, they were 100, 150 yards away, kind of down a swell. I know they could see our decoy. They heard my calling because the tom would turn around and he would look at us every time I would call, you know, over the hour that we watched these birds. And I called, and 20 feet to my right, or not 20 yards to my right, 10 feet in from the wood line or from the field edge that we're in, boom, gobble. And I'm like, perfect. This is how, I mean, this is it. Like, safety's off. Like, in my mind, I'm already, like, doing the video that I'm going to send to you guys and all this shit. Like, I'm ready, man. I'm going to kill this turkey and let's roll. Dude, this turkey goes, like, 100 yards around the edge of the field. Like, I could hear him walking. Gobbles again, gets to, like, the far edge. Comes into this field, like comes up to the top ridge, and he can finally see this other tom with four hens. And for the first time in my life, I saw two toms fight. And so this big turkey, so there's one that's like, he's clearly, I mean, he's like 10, 11 inch beard. The other guy's like 6 inch beard. Like there's a size difference in beards. It's definitely not a Jake. It's just a smaller bird. And this big sumbitch comes, I mean, full sprint as fast as he could and jumps on this turkey. The hens are like running in circles and they're like pecking the two toms as they're fighting. And it was awesome. And so, you know, we watch. So this other tom like runs off into the woods and like he slowly comes out, you know, tail feathers down between his legs. The other big dude strutting around like he's the boss. And we watch these turkeys for like 3 hours. They never responded. The hens never, they never got more than like 85 yards. They never came up. They never, they clearly saw the decoy. They could hear the calling. It's a field. Like, you know, I can, if I had a deer slug, it's a dead turkey. You know, I'm kidding. I'm not going to shoot a turkey with a deer slug, but you get the point. So they start moving to this other field. We try to cut them off and they had gone up a little farther. Didn't work, but we watched them walk, you know, fly up into the roost and, kind of the same thing, man. They come out this morning. We didn't see the big tom. He gobbled once or twice in the woods, but hit the ground with the hens. But this smaller, you know, 6-inch beard boy, he comes out on the top of this ridge. And we had set, like, I watched him walk in, and, like, we could hear him gobble, and we knew where the hens were. So I set up, like, in between the hens and the tom, and I'm hoping that, like, at some point they're going to intermingle in front of us, you know, if they fly out to the woods or into the field, which they flew in like right behind us. I mean, we were pretty close, but dude, this tom, this small tom, he would never come off this ridge. I mean, he was 100 yards away, never gobbled. He would strut every once in a while, and he was just drilling holes into the decoy, and he stayed in the same spot for and did not move for probably 20 minutes and just stood there and stared at us and in our decoy. And so I don't know if that other bigger tom was still around and just, he knew that he was just going to get his ass beat if he came out into that field, but he never came off that ridge. So finally he fades away and we circle him and try to get on him, but he's not gobbling. I mean, we can't find him. So I had to get out of there, to get on my trip to Pennsylvania. So we're leaving. And Munch, wouldn't you know, right around the field, right on the corner, half mile down the road, two toms in the field, full strut.
One more time, in our zone.
So I'm like, dude, we're hunting these turkeys. So we pull off at the next parking spot. We get all of our stuff back on. And it takes us a while. You know, like, I don't want to bump these birds. Like, they're just standing there. And we're like, Justin and I, like literally crawling through this drainage ditch, right? And I'm like, dude, I feel like this is one of those, like Northwoods Law, where they set up, like, the moose decoy. And some dumb bastard, like comes up and shoots the decoy. And then the game wardens come out and get them. I was like, man, I was like, we're like, someone's watching us right now. And no one was. So we crawl out. And I pop up, I'm looking, I don't see anything. I'm like, son of a bitch, man. Like, then there's no way that we scared these turkeys, right? So we go back, we just walk back. And so the field across from us was like lower. So we couldn't see. I get in my truck and I'm like, you know what? I just want to drive down. I'm going to see if we can see them, like, something, because there's these massive fields. Dude, they were 50 yards off of the road on the other side in the zone that we can't hunt. And I'm just like, you know what? We're going home. Had enough. Screw these turkeys. Y'all win. I'll see you next year. So it was cool, man. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, like, there's not been a lot of pressure on these turkeys for decades, and it showed. But they were just those hens, man. I mean, we're talking like we're almost to the end of the season. And these toms had hens with them literally from the moment they hit the ground until the moment they flew up in the tree.
Could just be the late spring.
It's something. Yeah. And like those hens, like we never. I mean, like I said, we watched those turkeys at some point for 6 hours on the first day. Those hens never went to the nest. Never, not once did they break away. They were with those toms literally the entire time.
I think it's funny how I think the terms anthropomorphize how we try to give human intellect to these animals. Okay. And why won't it come off the ridge? Why won't he come to the decoys? Why don't we? They're wild animals, right? Like, it doesn't matter. We sit here
you don't want to.
Why are they doing this? Right? Because they don't want to, because they're wild animals. So who knows?
It's like Dave Owens. That's what Dave Owens said. Why is a turkey being a turkey? When we interviewed him, he's just like, they're going to do what they want to do. Like, when he was on that ridge, man, like, my God, I was just like, if you're a turkey hunter, you're going to understand this because you've been there. Like, cause they'll hang up and you need them. All they need to do, if they take that first step, guarantee they're going to take the rest of them.
Yeah.
But it's getting them to take that first step in the direction that you need them to come. And once they do that, done deal. Like you've won at that point. Just don't miss, you know?
Right.
And he never did that, man. I mean, this turkey was a statue. That video I sent you, he was just standing there.
That was crazy.
Never moved.
That was crazy. So, well,
and I don't know, man. It was frustrating, but it was super cool. And I'm glad that Justin got to experience a real good turkey hunt for his first go around. It's cool, man. Twice this season, I've had two times this year, man. This season, I've been able to see the moment that a new turkey hunter falls in love with turkey hunting. Guy from Colorado, Jason, yelped up a turkey for him that was super aggressive. And then my buddy Justin. And it's that moment where, like, they're really close, but they kind of, you know, they're just teasing you, but they're so close. Like, you can feel their gobble, man. Like, you just want them to walk out and get close to you and shoot them and put your hands on them. And it just grabs them. And they're like, oh my God, I want to do this, you know, the rest of my life. And I love seeing that, man. That's been really, really a neat experience for me. So
that's awesome.
Hopefully we can get that for you this Saturday.
Well, we'll see. And we'll give it a whirl. But, so yeah, that is another note here, is that the Southern Zone Sunday's the last day, and then Northern Counties got till next Sunday. Southern Counties, this is the last week, so it came, it's gone. Good luck to anybody getting out still. But now we're gonna, let's see who we got. We got Gage, so our buddy Brian's son, gonna come on and tell us his turkey season so far. Actually, there's some good comedy in there, if you can use your imagination a little bit. And then we've got Nick Moen on a different front, going to talk to us a little bit about his bass fishing endeavors and all that kind of stuff. I feel like I missed
a couple I don't know, man. Couple O2 podcast listeners coming on and doing a special report. We got some folks that have reached out to us on Go Wild that you know we'll have on the program at some point this summer. So love the support. Appreciate you guys listening, leaving reviews, and finding us on Go Wild and Instagram and Twitter. So
absolutely
keep it up, man. We really like the communication with you guys. So. I promise. I'm gonna make this promise to you, to my wife, to my children, and to our listeners, that after June 1st, I will not say the word wild turkey until fall turkey hunting. I promise.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, but yeah, Instagram the.o2.podcast. Twitter is at Ohio Hunt. Go Wild, it's obviously O2 Podcast. Our website is theo2podcast.com. Tell your friends, leave reviews.
We got some cool episodes coming up, man.
Oh,
we got some good interviews. We got some really neat stuff that's coming down. So I think you guys are going to like it.
Yep.
So
cool. Well, Paul, have a good trip out there heading to the Keystone State. And we will talk to you next week.
All right, man. Appreciate you guys.
Yep. Take care, everybody.
See you guys.
Alrighty. So let's see here. We got Paul and Brian and Gage. Gage, where'd Gage go?
He's back.
He's back. He's back. And the dog.
Oh, jeez. Okay, maybe we ought to get rid of the dogs.
No. You're good. You're good. So, well, Gage, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
You've had a very exciting turkey season, haven't you?
You could say that.
Yeah. How old are you, Gage?
13 years old.
13. Very good. So I got the details on your one of your first hunts there earlier in the year. Do we want to start with that one or because it sounded like we could have you could have had some clown music going in the background. Which is typical for my hunts. Don't worry, I'm not judging by any means, but it sounded quite entertaining.
Okay, so we get back into our blind and we hear a gobble fairly close. It's the woods crossed into the left of us. He comes down sometime later, and then we see him walk out into the field with a hen. Hen takes off going down farther to the other woods. Then the tom cuts across into the woods that's right in front of us. And then we're waiting and waiting. It comes, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, it had to have been around 9, but you forgot the best part about what Dad forgot.
Oh, Dad forgot his turkey loads.
Yeah, so I'm out there with just a shotgun. I'm gonna beat any turkey that comes walking within range.
It's a threat.
That's almost like foreshadowing to what was about to happen, huh?
Exactly. I'm like, well, this thing's about worthless. So I knew Gage was gonna be the one shooting. And when we had, just to throw in, we had patterned this bird that day that this incident happened was the third day. That we had hunted him, and we got him to do the exact same thing 3 days in a row. It's just the other 2 days, he didn't want to come quite all the way in, so we changed up our decoy.
Yeah, pattern. We had a Jake that we'd never had a good luck with, and we just took him out, and then that time came right to us. And about 9 o'clock or 9:30, Dad pops out of the blind just to do a little bit of mouth calling, and we don't hear this turkey gobble. He is like straight across from us, 100 yards.
100 and a quarter.
We get our stuff ready, shuffle back into the blind real quick. But he's taking his time, about 15, 20 minutes. He comes over here. So he's making his way kind of from our left over to my right window, and we have a trespassing sign, and I'm trying to get him over to the right of that. He turns to the left, right where I want him to, turns facing straight at me, lifts its head. I shoot it.
How far away?
25.
He won 20 yards probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And then he does just the old noodle, just going in circles, trying to flap him. And then he takes off to the woods to our right. And then I shoot him again. And then another time, I'm just like trying to kind of sidearm it out the window.
Let's clarify. You shot at him.
At him, yeah.
We're not 100% sure if you hit him. But the first shot, and Andrew, I think you saw it on video, man, that bird looking like it was done.
Definitely, yeah.
And I didn't know if it had a bulletproof vest on or what, but, man, it took off running.
Okay, so Dad says, go get it, go get it. So our mistake was I left my gun with no shells in the blind, and I'm darting after this. And it was kind of warm that day, and I had my 1,000 insulate boots on, so I had them to keep my feet cold or cooled off. And I have my boots still untied, chasing like 75 yards after this turkey. Dad's in the woods. I'm on the tree line. Dad gets a sight of him. I see him. I dart into the woods.
I was doing the end around.
Yeah, and like
to try to push him back to you.
Yeah, you're gonna go club him with your gun. Is that?
He was. Yeah, I think Gage had stopped at one point in this mad dash chasing this freaking bird down to grab a hunk of wood, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" Let's just.
So I get like 2 feet from him. I jump on him, and then I grab his tail feathers. I try to go for his left foot. He kind of picks it up, and then I still have hold of his tail feathers. I have his entire fan, just in multiple different feathers out in the garage right now.
That was your trophy. Yeah.
And then Dad would have been right there, but he kind of fell like 10 yards away.
4,800-year-old 100-yard dash. I ran the team, and I think my upper body got ahead of my feet, and
The best part was your Blair Witch-like video of, go, 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 tackle him, go. Where do I get you? It's just a camera that's just, like, floating, and you're just seeing trees, and you could tell that there's a lot of hustle going on, but, hey, Gage, it happens to the best of us, man, and some of us don't even get to shoot at birds, so that's a plus, but you turned around, you shook that off, right? Played a couple baseball games, and then tell us about last weekend.
So, what was it?
Well, we got up at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that was not a fun thing. I always wake up about 20 minutes earlier than Dad because I'm a little bit slower to get ready. So I'm up at like 3:40, 3:50. And then we go back there, and we heard a couple gobbles from that same woods that original one was, but they were a lot farther. And then we have a bottom in the woods next to us, to the left, and we heard like one, maybe two. We had heard a couple of Jakes too.
Yeah, the for some reason, it seemed like a lot of the turkey goblin didn't seem to be nearly as close, and it was more humid that morning. It was Saturday morning. And I don't know if even the goblins were hearing, even when they were out in the field close, you could see their neck stretch out and their head shake, and then you'd hear this faint gobble. But I don't know. They could have been a lot closer than what we thought, but there was a lot of goblin going on that morning.
All right. 6 o'clock comes around, and then this hen, where did that hen come from? I don't remember.
She just came from our woods off to our right. She was probably no more than 30 yards when she popped out in the woods.
Yeah, and then I'm like, and then she comes close. What's our decoys at, 10 yards?
Yeah, no, probably closer to 15 to 20, but she was well inside that.
Yeah, and then she lost interest and then walked off. And then she went about halfway to the field, came back around to the corner. I was dying at that point. I had to take a pee so bad. And then so I get out of the blind, and I'm moving really slow because she's still like 50 yards away, but she can still kind of see me. I guess she caught sight of me and took off into the woods. And then it's at that time of day where everything just dies and all the toms are with all their hens for them.
So we
took a nap.
We took a nap.
well deserved. And Perfect. Then up, I look around, no turkeys. I go back to sleep. I wake up, look to the left, no turkey. Look to the right, that hen is still sitting there. And I looked back at that video. Never mind. I'll come in
later.
Yeah, later. And then she is just taking her time over to the corner of the woods that across from us. And then we just like, you know, it's all right. 10 minutes later, good gobble. And like me and Dad look at each other. That has to be out in the field to the left. There he is. Really nice time just sitting out there on the
sits out in the middle of the field.
Yeah, and like 100, just 200.
Oh, he's probably 200 yards out, just standing there gobbling, looking for a girlfriend, and he stood there for
15.
It was quite a long time, and then that's when that other bird came from our right,
which we thought was a jake at first because it had the tiniest beard.
But it was a bearded hen.
Yeah, I checked back in the video that I took, and that was the same one because it had a little bit of a.
Because I didn't see it.
Yeah, I don't know. That hen is just slowly going over to that tom, and then that tom starts to pick up the pace, coming over. He's about maybe 80 yards, 75 yards. Yeah.
Were you guys calling to him to try to get him to come in?
You know, we started calling initially when we found him out in that field, kind of standing there looking for a girlfriend. And I think he responded a little bit. But what we started to hear, which was ironic,
was another hen out at the corner.
Well, and we heard a couple more toms down to the south and maybe one back in behind us back in the woods. You know, we're facing a field right on the edge of a woods in a pop-up blind, and everything out in front of us is nothing but field, and that's where that one tom was located, and that other hen was kind of moving towards that tom. And as we called, you'd hear them, but we stopped calling simply because we thought that hen was going to draw that tom in. And then
that tom's at 70 yards. I look over my dad's shoulder and we have a big window open right in between where there's a little bit of an opening. I see this massive tom full strut like 70 yards. It was huge,
and that had to have been the one that we heard down to the south. He must have popped out of the woods and he was coming too,
and all these toms had their tail feathers attached.
We checked that one again.
Yeah, that would have been not been a good time for him. Then the original turkey comes, and then the hen kind of, you know, messing with them and keeping them away from us. And the other tom that was from our left is kind of coming from the tree line right where we were, about 15 yards out. And then there was this like big, big brush pile or something like that. And he would go about 6 inches, go back 4.
He was coming into our hen. We had a single hen decoy out. And I think that's what might have helped us, because we had two toms and one live hen out there, and she was moving around. And I'm like, at first I thought that one hen was going to pull both toms away from us. But I think the one was trying to shack up with the original tom. And that's where this other one, and he came in full strut, just like Gage said, maybe 2 inches, 6 inches at a time. He'd puff up and do his deal, and then he'd kind of step back, and Gage is just freaking the whole time.
Yeah, and so he comes out, and then he's still full strut, and then my bipod is a little bit too short, so instead of putting it in the, like, V or whatever, I'm sitting it on the side.
On the top of it.
And then I'm just getting ready. I'm shaking like there's like it's an earthquake going on.
This would have been his first time. He was super excited about it.
Yeah, and then he gave me a perfect shot, flattened him, he didn't go anywhere.
Well, and there was a little discussion early in that event when the time was coming on whose gun he was actually gonna shoot. because we had patterned his gun, and I'm like, dude, whatever you did last time, don't do that. Well, Dad, can I shoot your gun? And I'm like, if you want, but he was a trooper and decided I'm jumping back on that horse and got his gun out and just – normally you see a bird when they get shot, they just flop like crazy. This sucker, dirt nap instantly. Cold and didn't hardly budge until maybe you walked up on him, but he didn't hardly beat his wings at all. But
yeah, and
how big was it? How many pounds did you guys weigh him out?
Yeah, he had to be at least 35, 40,
70.
We were in such a hurry that day. We got him back because Gage had a 1 o'clock soccer game in Perrysburg. So we got him back. I opened my tailgate and went to butcher in and just cut him up and literally threw it in the fridge and threw soccer gear on and we took off. So we didn't get a weight on it. We didn't get a length on it.
That picture, he looked massive.
It was
my turkey's beard was longer than my dad's.
I told him
that's a never, win in my book.
Never mind.
It's a win in my book.
Competition. Yeah. I love it. Hey Gage, that is a wonderful story. Super pumped, man, for you to come back after having a tough go around that other time. So congratulations, man.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So I can't wait to share this to everybody.
Paige, I'm smiling ear to ear, man, listening to you tell that story. So, Dad, I'm sure you were pretty happy too.
Happy. But any woods with my son is a great day.
Absolutely.
That's right. And that Andrew shared the video with me that you guys sent. Not like at first, like 10 seconds after you realize what just happened, man, that emotion, I love it. That's what hunting's about. Never lose that. So good stuff.
Hey, in the future, I want to have another show with kids and getting kids in the outdoors. So Gage, Brian, will you guys come back on for that one?
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Love to. Bring all of our weird stories with us.
Sounds great. Well, hey, man, good luck with the soccer and the baseball the rest of the go here. Dad, if you go out this weekend, good luck. We'll stay in touch for sure.
All right, guys. Thank you. Good luck when you guys get out, too.
Yep, take care.
All right. See you guys.
Later.
Bye.
All right. We're here with Nick Moen of the Outdoor Boys. Nick's going to talk to us, give us a little update, rundown of what he's got going on with some bass fishing tournaments here in the region. Nick, thanks for your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So, Nick, give listeners a quick rundown, who you are, where you live, and what you get yourself into.
We don't need your address, but you can just ballpark it.
Yeah, ballpark region.
No, I got it. I live in Pataskala, Ohio. I've been fishing tournaments for a few years now. Last year was my first year with the BFL, Phoenix Bass Series League, which are part of the MLF. This year, I'm fishing with them again. I fish as a co-angler. Every tournament I go out there, I get put on a different boat for every tournament, and just try to do my best and learn everything I can while I'm out there.
So is that kind of weird? Like, so do you guys just like hang out in the parking lot and wait for some guy to come up and be like, yeah, you can fish on my boat? Like how's that part work?
Yeah, no. So I sign up for the tournaments and everybody has to pre-register. So the boaters pre-register and the co-anglers pre-register. And the night before the tournament, we get paired up. Co-angler gets paired up with a boater. You guys call each other, link up, talk about maybe some of the things that you plan on doing so that you've got the right baits and stuff like that ready to go. And then you meet up in the morning before you do our launch out in the morning, our boat takeoff. So we meet up, get on the boat, and then we go from there. Just go out and fish, and And I've had a few people ask me multiple times, you know, why don't you go out as a boater? I did own a boat a few years ago. I tried that for a while and I liked it, but I really like going out as a co-angler because it gives me the opportunity to talk to somebody that, in my opinion, most everybody out there knows a lot more than I do. So I go out there, I talk to them, figure out what they're doing right, you know, and try and learn from what they're doing.
So you did pretty good your first year on the circuit. So just give us a rundown of how you did last year. You've got a one fish average, which is, I mean, I fished like four or five tournaments in my life, never caught a fish. So you're a hell of a lot better than I am.
So yeah, actually the funny thing is like I said, I've been doing this for a few years now, and I think probably about 3 to 4 years running, I've had a constant one fish average for every single tournament. So last year, when I fished for the first time with BFL, I maintained that one fish average. So every tournament I went out, caught at least one fish. I think there was one tournament last year I ended up catching two fish in. But with that, it allowed me to qualify high enough to make it to regionals last year, which was a blast. I got to go out and fish the Potomac, which I've been wanting to do for a long time. And that was fun out there. You know, I think I had more fun out there catching snakeheads than I did catching bass.
That's pretty cool. So when is your first tournament with the Phoenix Boat League, right?
Yeah, Phoenix Boat Series League, the BFL. So it's the BFL. Buckeye Division. Yeah. My first tournament is next Saturday, which would be the 21st.
So is that like is spawning activity like starting to peak at that time, or is it kind of tapering off?
Yeah, we should be like right in the heart of it. It really depends on the lake temperatures. And that's one other thing that I don't keep up on as much as some of the boaters do. They'll go out a week in advance or something like that, or a couple days in advance. They'll go out and practice quite a bit. You know, I don't do a whole lot of practice because I never know where my boater's going to want to go. I know some co-anglers go out there and they try to tell their boaters, hey, let's go over here or let's go over there. I'm pretty easy laid back. I just let the boater decide where he wants to go, and I figure out how to fish behind him. I figure if I can do good fishing behind a boater, not even knowing where he's going, then I can make it, you know, I can make it, you know, I can get there one of these days, you know, here in the next year or two, maybe it'll be this year. I end up doing really good and win myself a boat, and then I won't be able to be a co-angler anymore. Then I have to start taking my own boat out there.
Be your own captain, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a boat right down the street from me. It's only like 3 or 4 houses away. Paul, we might need to look at that, by the way. But hey, Nick, so last week I was out camping at a quarry. That you know, I paid whatever $10 for a fishing license. It wasn't a license, obviously. It was just the ability to fish on their private lake. Mm-hmm. I threw just about everything in my tackle box into the water. I didn't catch anything. What I mean, I think it should have been a good time for bass or whatever. Like, what kind of strategy are you looking for when it comes to trying to catch something when you go out on the water? Like, I guess, how do you come up with that kind of stuff? I know what to look for when I'm looking for deer, right? I'm looking for rubs, scrapes, trails, all that kind of stuff. But I have no idea when it comes to fish.
Right. Yeah. No, I get that. So me personally, I go out. First thing I want to pay attention to is like the water temperatures. I know that if it's a bit cooler, then I'm going to have to maybe slow down my retrieve when I cast out. And a lot of times, especially this time of year, I'm going to throw a spinnerbait or a chatterbait, and I'm going to bring that back to me quite a bit. And you really, I'm using that as a search bait. I'm trying to find something, trying to find fish. But if I can find some grass or some laydowns, you know, some structure down there at the bottom where I may get caught up or I may hit, bounce off of, if I see that and I know that the water temperature is just a little cooler, I may then go and throw, say, a wacky worm or Texas rig, crawl or something like that down there and try and entice them into biting. Right now, they should be close enough or at least right into the spawn to where they're going to hit pretty much anything coming in front of their face. So I really will search the water and search and search and search and try and find out where they are. And hopefully early in the morning, you know, within the first hour or so, I pinpoint that and I know what they're hitting. And then I can use that and maybe tweak it as the day goes on. The water warms up a little bit, but I'll use that strategy throughout the day and try and catch multiple fish. I don't know how well that's worked for me in the past. Remember, I only have a one fish average, but
that sounds good to me. I don't know what one fish average means. So that sounds good, right?
It means that he's better than us. Yeah, that's what it means.
That doesn't say a lot, but, so how many times are you throwing out something in order to figure out if they're into that or not? Is it a dozen casts? Is it 2 hours?
Oh man, I could throw for 5 minutes. If it doesn't feel right, I'll switch it up to something else. Now you got to understand, I have 6 rigged rods with me on the boat.
I didn't even own 6 rods.
All six of them have something different on it. So I could switch up immediately. When I'm switching, I'm not taking a whole lot of time. I've already got something else rigged up that I want to try. But if it's the right situation, I've got the right cover or the right structures around, I may throw, say, a chatterbait. I may throw that for 2-3 hours without even getting a strike on it, just because I know that something should be there and is going to hit that. Now, I may change up the way I throw it. I may retrieve it slow. I may retrieve it fast. It depends on what I feel like they're doing. And that's where really getting a hit or getting a strike on that bait early in the morning really helps me start to tune in what they're doing. At least that's, like I said, that's what I believe. That's the way I'm doing it.
I like it. I always just like fish that. I'm like, this is it. This is the bait that's going to work. And I'm just, it's like I fish all day. I'm like, nope.
One time,
bite it.
One time I had really, really good success with a rooster tail. So I always think that that is like the one I have to ask. So I've got like 3 sizes and I'll try them all and then I'll go on to something else.
That's the go-to bait. Yeah. So.
Dude, I totally understand. I've had a ton of success with the wacky rig. So I will tell you a little short story here. A couple years ago, I went down to the finals down at Old Hickory in Tennessee. That was a 3-day tournament. I spent 3 days prior to that tournament practicing, and I was just nailing fish left and right during practice on a spinnerbait. So first 2 days of the tournament, I get out there and I'm using nothing but the spinnerbait. I didn't catch a single fish. Last day of the tournament, I go out. This guy that I was fishing with, he actually was leading. I think he was in 5th place in the tournament. And he's like, here, throw one of these. He starts having me throw this square bill crankbait. And he's catching fish. I actually did catch 2 or 3. Hey, hi, Kat.
Sorry Kat, about that. Kat made an appearance on the podcast here.
Can you still hear me?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, we can hear you.
All right. So he's catching 2 or 3, and I caught 2 or 3, but they were all small. We were heading back so that he could weigh his fish. I thought, man, this 3-day tournament, I didn't even catch a single fish. I pull out my wacky rig, the one that I always go to. We stop at this little island right before the boat ramp. I throw it in right next to this stump laying on the ground, and there I go. I think it was like a 2-pounder. I finally got the weigh a fish. I knew I wasn't winning anything, but it just took that off of me. Like, finally, I get the weigh a fish.
That's awesome, man. Old reliable. So you've got what? How many tournaments do you have scheduled this summer?
So I have 4 scheduled tournaments. That would be for the BFL. I did just fish a tournament a couple weeks ago. I called it my tune-up tournament. It was a local one. I didn't do too bad. Stuck to my one fish average. But, you know, out of those four tournaments, I'll be fishing Indian Lake here in May. Then I'm fishing Tanner's Creek twice. And then I'm fishing Maysville once. And then we're going up to Mosquito Lake. That's a two-day final. And assuming I keep my averages up or even improve, I qualify for regionals this year, then I'll be going over to the James River over in Virginia. I am really looking forward to that.
That'll be fun. So Nick's going to give us a weekly rundown, tournament rundown, I guess, of how the tournament did, what was working, what wasn't. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think that O2 podcast logo on your fishing jersey, that's worth a three fish average. That's what I'm calling.
Dude, you're good.
That's what I'm saying, man.
They're going to see that and jump into the
that's
boat.
It. They're like, I want to get caught by that guy.
So, hey guys, I do want to thank my sponsors, man.
Yeah. Do
if
it,
you
man.
Don't mind.
Yeah.
No, not all go.
Especially you guys. Thanks for, sponsoring me this year, no helping problem. Me out, you know, trying to get my name out there a little bit. I want to thank Gibson Insurance Agency for, you know, taking care of all my insurance needs. I had a boat, they insured that, you know, they insure my truck, gets me to and from places. And, you know, these tournaments are away from home, so I got to take my trailer out there too. I go camping on every tournament. So thanks Gary for that. I got a couple new sponsors this year. You know, we've got the Go Wild sponsoring me this year. I'm having a blast with Go Wild. I encourage everybody to sign up.
We love those guys.
Yeah, the best.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are awesome, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
I got Thompson Custom Lures. That guy's sending me some decent lures to try out this year. I know he makes some pretty good spinner baits, so I'll be throwing those a lot. A&I Truck Parts. I got to thank those guys because they're the ones that put the wheels on my truck, and it's looking pretty sharp.
Yeah, it is. They're right here in Pataskala. I like those guys.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, you've checked them out, right?
Yep. Good stuff. So, Nick, thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for the rundown. We look forward to the updates. Where can people find you at on social media?
Well, you can find me on Go Wild. Just look for me on there. You could find me on Facebook. Look for my name, Nick Moen, or you could also look for the Outdoor Boys. You'll find Outdoor Boys on Facebook. Go ahead.
Moen is Mowen, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Outdoor Boys on Facebook. Cool group, so check them out. Nick, thanks for your time, man. We'll catch up with you here in a couple weeks. Look forward to hearing about your three fish average.
Good luck, sir. Good luck.
That is what I'm looking for. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Take care, dude.